Welcome one, welcome all, step right up, ladies and gentlemen, Portal Gaming Podcast, episode number 87, coming at you right now. Portal Gaming Podcast is a podcast brought to you by a store called The Portal, located in Manchester, Connecticut. For more information, you can log on to www.timemachineportal.com. You can check us out on Facebook, The Portal, and on Twitter, at PortalGaming60. We are also a proud member of the Dice Tower Network. Howdy, everybody. I am your host, The Brant, for this episode, and with me is...
your co-host, Brian.
All right, and we are here to bring you episode 87, Our Most Desperate Hour, because we're going to do Brian's recap of Tabletop Day 2018, because there was a lot going on.
You already did one, right?
I did one.
What was your title for that?
International Tabletop Day 2018. Oh. but yeah, we're gonna get Brian's take, because we didn't get you on the podcast. We didn't get Eric Summer. We didn't get Kathy. So I'll do an episode with Kathy and Eric Summer after this. So.
Yeah,
no. I won't. In case people are expecting me, that was a joke. I'm not guaranteeing that Eric is doing an episode with us, but I am guaranteeing that Kathy is. So we'll do that. Well, how the heck you been, Brian?
Yeah, I've been good. Coming off of that the 24-hour thing, so it's been a little, you know, a little less like consistent for gaming since then. That's a big commitment to just kind of go for the day, but I've been good. The weather's kind of turned course, so it's nice to get out, play some Ultimate.
Right.
And, you know, just be enjoying the weather. So, how about you?
Nice. I'm good. School's kind of in that wind-down mode. It's that weird, I guess, in New England, since we extend all the way into June, and then the snow days pushes us 3 weeks in. It's that weird, like, run to Memorial Day weekend, and after Memorial Day weekend you'd be like, okay, now it's really ending. Even though we have 4 weeks, there's a lot of events and graduation and exams, and you kind of shift gears, but up until then you're like feeling like it's ending, but you got to keep going, so it's a little exhausting on that end. But speaking of summer, we should talk about the places that we are going to be.
Yeah.
So Dice Tower Con, you will find myself and you will find Kathy and Zephra down there in Florida. So definitely come and find us and play a game with us. And I've been significantly involved in the Dice Tower Awards. So should be there and doing all that.
And during that time, I'll be at the store. So,
but then in... that's July. But then in like early August, I don't know if it's July. And we have to figure out our dates for traveling. But it's very end of July and or... early August, we will be at
Gen Con. So, yeah, it'll be good to get back to that. You know, both of us missed last year for various reasons, so it'll be fun to see everyone out there. You know, if you're, try to find us. I know we won't really be locked in for the whole time.
I'm at the Dice Tower booth.
Right, for how, like, any set schedule?
I don't have the schedule yet.
Okay.
But I'm at the booth, like... 2 hours or four, 2 hours or 4 hours, a couple of the days, and maybe you'll come hang out with me.
I'll be around. Okay. So, and then if people are looking to play a game or something like that, we'll be there, you know, for a bulk of the time, and just ready, you know, we'll be around. So.
And Larry will be with us.
Oh yeah, that's the plan.
He's been on a few podcasts, so we'll have him. I don't know if other people are going. Do you know the people from the store that are going? Do you know if Gary's going?
I don't. I know. So Jen said that she was going.
From, oh, okay. Yep.
So, yeah, so that should be good. I know she's going to try to figure out, because she's on Board Game Breakfast as well, so there's a lot of activity there. But
maybe
I haven't talked to anyone
else.
She'll work
the booth with me.
I'll be there. I'll help.
So, that's what'll be happening. So we'll be there sometime. I'm going to help set up on Wednesday. And are you doing trade day?
Yeah.
Yeah, so Brian's going to go to trade day, I think.
And Larry is going to be there for trade day
right?
He's doing one of the seminars for that. I guess you'd probably have to be like involved with like a library or retail space, or I don't know what else. What are
education.
The other? Education.
Yeah.
So those are the three main spots that you could kind of come in for that. But I think at this point it might also be sold out.
Yeah.
I don't know. It fills up pretty good, right. At least over the past couple of years. So
yeah, I won't be doing it because I went on behalf of the store. I went on behalf of education. I spoke, and now I won't be doing it. So, but I'll be helping set up Dice Tower and get other things ready. And I think I'm going to be helping Clay over at Capstone. I got to get that nailed down. He's figuring out Origins right now, so a lot of companies are thinking about Origins and gearing that all up, and then they'll think Gen Con, so might be over there. And I think I'm going to be involved in the Dice Tower live show as well.
Nice.
So I should be there. If I'm not helping on stage, then I'm certainly going to be helping with other things.
Right.
So it's interesting how it's changed from going for a trade day focus and the benefit of staying, right, and consuming and buying games and playing games and kind of really being on that end, you know, and just getting used to things for the store, to now, like, you know, if I don't get to consume and play a lot of games, I'm happy to be involved in running events and being at booths and seeing people and networking. Yeah. It kind of changes from the, like, certainly between us, I'm sure we'll each grab 4 or 5 hot games, you know?
Yeah, hopefully. I mean, depending on...
Because that's still fun.
Yeah, and I'd like to have something, like an event or something at the store after... You know, like, that's the week call. After, just kind of, like, do a showcase of, these are either the upcoming games or the ones that we really enjoyed, you know, and whoever's, you know, picking stuff up, like, I'd like to really try to get something consistent with the store as well.
Yeah, no, that's a great idea. Kind of like people do, like, post-Essen cons, right?
Yeah.
When they bring that stuff back, kind of bring things to people that weren't able to be there.
And... The tough thing to know is, like, what, you know, how stuff staggers for releases. It's never really consistent from that end.
Right, you have stuff that comes out there and it's out the next week, and you have stuff that comes out there and it doesn't come out till December, so.
Yeah, it's really up to, like, what each company does. You know, some are just releasing, like you said, like, a lot of times even, like, some companies have, you know, a nationwide release that kind of coincides with it, so it'll be sold at Gen Con the same time as in the stores.
Right.
But either way, I think it would be good to have, like, some excitement, you know, come back and really give that focus, you know, have the community around, too, to kind of play stuff that maybe they missed out on or couldn't get out to, and just kind of see what's going to be coming out.
Nice. Yeah, that'll be awesome. I haven't even thought about the games. Like, I've seen things announced, but I haven't thought about the games. I went through a couple of the Origins preview, and I was like, oh, that game is coming out. I forgot, right? Or, oh, that's going to be demoed. I'm excited. So it's interesting how I just, you know, used to be in the know. I haven't even thought about all that stuff this year, so we'll get around to that. Cool. That's kind of the summer.
Yeah.
But I'll push a little further ahead. October 4th through 7 is VonnerCon. We'll be there. Kathy will be there. Zephyr will be there, because... Well, we live there. You live close.
Yeah.
So that's at my house. But it's, you could call it invite only. I just want to know who you are.
Right.
So you can send an email, portalgamingpodcast@gmail.com, if that's something you're interested. My house is in Connecticut, you know, near the store. And then I'm going to be going to PAX Unplugged, which they just announced the dates. It's like November 30th through December 3rd, I want to say. Which sounds like 4 days.
I think it's the second.
Maybe it's just the second, because it was 3 days last year. So I will definitely be there. And you will pretty definitely not be there. Leaving a toy store in December is not a good idea. So, but yeah, we're going to be at all those conventions. So
nice.
Look at us go. Cool. We should move to what's on our table.
Yeah. So how do you want to kind of start off with what's...
I'm going to go with what's literally on my table right now.
Uh-oh.
How does that sound?
Yeah.
Okay, so literally on my table at home, we played dinner tonight and played a game.
Okay.
So Zephyr had dance, and she wanted me to hang out with her, and she wanted to play a game. So we set up Catan Histories, and it's the... it's the America one. It's like Settlers and Rails. I have no idea what the actual name of it is. But it's Catan Histories America, and it's, I don't know, railways and settling, something. Anyway, so, but it's Catan, Settlers of Catan. I think it's even Settlers of Catan, so maybe they didn't put it in there. Railways and Trailways, let's go with that.
You don't have it logged in here?
Well, we didn't finish.
Oh, okay.
So it's literally on my table. So anyway, This is Catan, but there's some twists. So it's a map of America, and you start in Eastern America, and then throughout the game you move west. And so you can move in two ways. So you can make settlers, and then they get to cities, and they city spots, and they turn into cities, kind of like civilization. And so that's one option. They just kind of move across the trails, and then when they get to a certain spot, oh, they're going to make Wichita, you know, because they got there, and you take a city and put it on the board. So unlike Catan, where you just pay for a spot and have roads there, like you actually move to that spot and do that. And then there are railways that you can build, and trains can only move along railways, so everybody has to kind of work together to build them across. The goal, it's actually a race in this game. I suppose the other one, because it's a race to 10 victory points. But this is a race to get rid of your goods. So you have a single good, and then you have a bunch of buildings. I think we have 9 with 3 players, and every building, which is the cities, has a good attached to it. And when you build that building, you get the good. So you have to build all your buildings and then get all of your goods. So you travel with the train to other people's cities, and you can drop off a good there. Of course, if there's already a good, the spot is full, so you can't. So it's a race, just the first person to be able to do that. What I really like about this versus Catan is it removes 2 of the elements that aren't so great. So first off, if you roll the dice and you receive nothing on your turn, then, or anybody's turn, rather, you get a gold. And you can spend 2 gold to buy any resource. 2 gold is a wild. So it's got that kind of mitigation of like, oh no, we just keep rolling 4s and I have no 4s. In addition, it's really easy to get buildings out, so you have a lot of buildings. So, you spend more resources because you spend to build items, you spend to move items. So it kind of balances out in terms of like the number, like, oh, you'll collect 4 resources on a turn. Whereas in Catan, that would be like really, really good. You know, a turn of 4. It's kind of normal to get 4, but you need to spend a whole bunch. But you can just build those settlers and place new buildings and boom, you've got new ones. To mitigate a little bit, there's like the numbered circles that were in regular Catan are on the board in some random spots. And as you move west, you actually move those across the map. So the East Coast becomes less resource rich and the Midwest and the West become more plentiful. If you build along the coast, you get coins because there's not as much access to locations, or just getting all the way to the Pacific Ocean is worth a lot of points. But I like that because you can get a lot of buildings out and be receiving a lot of resources and not necessarily be in the lead. So it's not like in Catan, it's just kind of like, oh, you got the best spots and now you've got the best engine and we're rolling those numbers and you just go to victory, right? You just kind of know at that point. Mm-hmm. It does decrease the trading. Now we're playing with Zephra, so I think we're trying to be kind on the, hey, what do you need? Oh, I need a wheat. Oh, I have a wheat. Let me trade it to you. You know, that kind of thing. But you can get a lot more resources yourself. You can get 3 of a kind to trade in, and you can just spend coins. You can get a lot of coins. Oh, the other way you get coins is if you build a rail that connects one city to another, you get a coin for every rail. And then people have to pay to go over your rails, so you want to have those spots. So the coins kind of move around and make it possible. But it feels like there's not as much trading. It's not as diehard on the, like, oh, I can't do anything on my turn unless somebody will trade me a rock, you know? But there's that element. The cards are also a lot friendlier. Like, they're not steal everything from everybody. They're just like, build 2 rails, move extra spaces, whatever, these kind of things. So it's really fun. I really enjoy it. It's a little heavy on the strategy for Zephra, like trying to figure out what she's trying to do, long-term planning, but she definitely has fun rolling the dice and grabbing all the resources and doing all that. So did you find the name of it?
No,
I thought that's what you were searching. So it's something Catan, History of America, Catan. They have a whole Catan Histories line, and I don't know why I can't remember. I'll look it up while you're talking about your next game, and we'll go from there. So that is Catan something about America. And but I posted a picture on Twitter, and
so you can find the name there.
Yeah.
That's better.
I really like it. Like, Catan is kind of one of those games that I appreciate, but I'm kind of done playing it. But this one is fun.
Yeah, I don't know. I guess it sounds like it's one that I'd try out. You know,
you should try it. Yeah,
Catan a couple times, but yeah.
Yep. All you.
All right. Yeah, I guess it does it make sense to kind of go through from the beginning of Tabletop Day?
Go for it. All right. Yeah, definitely.
Yeah,
you can hit a bunch of games if you want.
I didn't play a ton, but I guess, so I got, you know, I slept a little bit the day before tabletop day, you know, got there between like 9 and 10, somewhere around there, showed up. Friday Night Magic was kind of dwindling down at that point. It wasn't as hectic, but there were still a lot of people in the store. I kind of, you know, went in. There were some people already setting up some board games. I saw Last Will being played, and Larry and Jose were actually starting up. They were setting up Merlin from Steffenfeld and Michael Rennick, I believe, which was, you know, they kind of had just got it set up for two players. I hopped in. It was easy enough to get a third person in there. So that was the first one that I got to the table, you know, for that whole time span. I guess it was a little before tabletop day, but it counts. It's part of that same time that I was there. So Merlin is actually, it's a Queen Games release from, was it last year? Last year. And it's kind of this, I guess it's kind of like a Rondell sort of, I don't know, there's like a circle with all these different action spaces, and everyone has a player, like a pawn that goes around there. There's also a generic, like a Merlin pawn that, you know, can be moved by everyone. But it's basically, you play over a few rounds, each round you roll some dice, and those are the dice that you can spend to either, like, some are your color, so you can move your player pawn around that action space, the number of spaces on the die, and then you do the action that you land on. So, and then there's one that's associated with Merlin, which is just kind of like, Merlin can kind of go either way around the action spaces, like either clockwise or counterclockwise, and whatever he lands on, you do the same way, but he kind of gives you some flexibility, like you're not locked in on going one direction around the board, right? Yeah. And basically, it's kind of like one of those classic Feld games where you can score points in so many different ways. You know, there's some, like, some area control elements, there's some, like, kind of set collection sort of things, like where you're trying to, there's so much to kind of go into it. Like, you're building buildings, collecting, like, different resources like shields or goods or stuff like that, which are trying to protect you from some sort of, like, bad thing that could happen every round. You know, basically you're trying to fend off these other, enemy sort of tokens. Yeah, they're coming in, and it's really just something to kind of give you a focus so you can try to protect against those. If you don't, you're going to lose points, but it's not a huge deal, you know. Yeah, so yeah, it's like that kind of gives you something where it's like you have to do this if you want to prevent, like, right, yourself from losing points. You can't just focus on doing what's best for you all the time. But, you know, it's really neat. It's, you know, once you kind of move to a space, you have a couple different options. You know, you can send out, like, some of the people in your group. Like, you've got player pawns that are kind of associated with, like, there's, like, a knight, there's a, like, a goods collector, someone that's kind of doing, like, work at a quarry or whatnot, like a bannerman or something. You know, you've got different mm-hmm. options. You can, when you go to these different cities around the action spaces, which are kind of the bigger the bigger tiles, they let you, you know, send one of your workers off to that space and then kind of collect something based on which one you place, right? And a lot of the other action spaces give you rewards, like you get, you know, points for having all these different things out, or, you know, you get, like, points for every flag that you've collected or shield that you've collected, stuff like that. And what you're just trying to do, you're trying to do all that stuff at the same point. You know, everyone else is kind of working around that. And, you know, at the very end of it, you play a few rounds, and there's definitely a lot more to it than that, but it's got a really neat dynamic to it. Like, it felt like it was, you know, pretty close throughout, and we had this back and forth where it's like you're doing stuff that is kind of affecting other players, but it's not like a huge, like, take mm-hmm. that sort of game. But it did feel like there were a lot of decisions to be made, and, you know, it was a fun Steffenfeld game, you know. And it was one that I had heard kind of mixed reviews on it initially, but I think, I don't know, like, Merlin seems like it's got enough to it where I want to keep playing it and, you know, try it out again, try, you know, see if there's something different that could be done with it, you know, just keep exploring new strategies. So
nice. Yeah, I really want to play. It was funny, it was like I heard about it and I heard people playing it and I heard bad and I heard good. And I was like, you know, I'll just be fine. But then I saw it at Conclave.
Yeah.
And when I saw it, I was like, I want to play that. That's just funny, right? Sometimes you just see things and you're right. Like, oh, I want to play that. When I saw it, it just looked really engaging.
Yeah. So, no, it definitely has some choices. So.
Catan Histories, Settlers of America, Trails to Rails.
So you're close.
I had a lot of that in there.
Did you have trails? Did you ever say trails?
I think I said trailways and railways.
Gotcha.
So I was
so just, kind of.
I was just using poetic license.
We'll go with that.
Are you gonna keep going?
Well, yeah, that was the first one. Did you show up while we were playing, or was it a little after?
No, you were like cleaning. When
okay.
I showed up.
Okay. Yeah. So it was kind of this break after that because we got right into the thick of it. You know, like. After that game, it was kind of switch gears. I was the last one there kind of manning the store.
Mm-hmm.
So I needed to be a little more front and center, you know, keep an eye on it and make sure everything was good for like leading into the day. You know, I know it definitely gets a little cluttered. And after a big event on Friday night,
right?
You know, there's always stuff to do. So I was trying to sweep up, clean up everything and get stuff situated for the day. But, then eventually you showed up a little while after that, and then I don't know if you had started something before me, but...
I played Noir.
Okay. And then we hopped right into Byzance.
Byzance?
Yeah.
That's
Renegade?
Yep.
Game Studios? So, I don't know. We had kind of talked about that already. I think you had mentioned it before, too. So it's kind of... It was a fun game.
Yeah, it's a fun auction game, and this is what I'm finding, all these auction games that I enjoy.
Yeah.
Either because it's so light, you're just like, okay, let's just auction. If it doesn't work out, it doesn't work out. Or, you know, a bunch of auction games that are... Well, anyway, this is in that category of like, let me just see what happens. I'm not overly worried.
It's not... Yeah, it's not going to drive the event. It's not going to be the game that you're trying to set up to play, but it's a good filler. And, you know, I'm glad that it was like... I think some other people were kind of in between games, too, where they were trying to... Because we were trying to set up a bigger game of Dominant Species, so that was kind of that perfect filler to get between games. So I guess that was kind of one right into the other. Dominant Species was the next one. I'm sure you kind of went through that in depth, but it was really fun to get that one out. I know, like, it's always rewarding to get back to a game that you think was really good, and after kind of exploring all these new games... You're never quite sure if it's what you remember. So, Dominant Species, I had a ton of fun with it. I know we may not have had the best player count for it or whatnot, or, you know, whatever.
We also
it was.
Had people were playing through the night to 3 a.m. Yeah. Like, there was just a lot of things that, you know, for some people, it just
with
was
the group,
trickier, but.
The,
but
like, it dynamics
worked.
Were. It was fun.
It was fast.
Yeah, no, it was definitely different, like, than I remember in that sense. I remember this long, epic game, but it was, like, though I guess you did kind of fine-tune it, so
it was a little shorter,
It was a little easier to kind of finish that up, but I definitely thought it was worth it to bring that back in.
Yeah, my only thing is I'm down to do, like, the four-player count and just kind of keep some of the chaos down, you know what I mean? But it's funny, it's area control... And all that stuff I don't like, but it just didn't upset me when it's like when the game's called Dominant Species and you take out my species and take over control. I'm like, oh yeah, that's fine. That makes sense.
Right. No,
I'm not
I guess.
As mad about it. Or there's all this other planning, so you're trying to see what people are going to do down the line, as opposed to like Rising Sun, where it was just like take an action now, and you have no idea what the next seven actions are going to be.
Right.
Okay. I'll try this. Oh, we're going to completely stop that. Like, why did you... Okay, sorry. That's frustrating. But this game felt like you could kind of figure out what people are doing. And
yeah, and I think it's one... I guess it's just... It does feel like it's rewarding for multiple... But it doesn't feel like it's overwhelming to get to a point where it's rewarding. You know, like, it doesn't feel like it's one of those games where it's like, you need to play this 30 times to kind of get a sense of the game system. It felt like... Once you kind of get the turns going really quickly and you kind of know, like, I guess, like, a lot of the round is going to be look at the cards that are there for dominance, see what, like, those effects are, and then kind of base your strategy off of what's out there.
Yeah, and so, what your situation is.
And even trying to, like, because that's the tough thing, trying to evaluate so many different variables, on the fly, of, you know, what...
Yeah.
What actions are, like, how much they're worth to you as opposed to how much they're worth to other players. And that's the really cool thing with that game.
It felt to me, too, like, until the volcano blew up, This sounds like a classic line.
Until the volcano blew up.
Like nothing that people did in the, like, take that department was that cutting.
Right.
Like, even in the beginning, people were like, well, let me take one of Brant's cubes away. Oh, let me take one of Brant's cubes away. And it was fine. Like, they weren't really stopping me from being able to dominate or score or other things. It wasn't until that last round with the volcano that was just huge.
Yeah. No, well, that was
this entire space, get it to myself for whatever number of points, kill everything in adjacent. Like, it was huge. That card was huge. But again, if that card comes up early, you kind of, we'll blow up all this stuff early and people will just reset. But it seemed like that card in the last round really made a big difference. So, hey, it's a good epic ending when a volcano explodes and people got to deal with the fallout. So it was fine.
Yeah, and it didn't, I guess...
didn't affect you as much.
Well, it helped me.
It took other people out
right,
of your spaces.
Right, no, which was... you know, I guess it was good to get it back. And it felt like it was pretty solid. I know, like... I don't know. Like it felt like it was fairly competitive throughout, you know, at least from top to bottom. Like maybe there was definitely like a gap at certain points, but like it didn't feel like it was like as brutal as I remember when we played, there was one person who was like just completely out of it.
Yeah.
And it didn't really feel like that to me. Maybe other people had kind of more of that perspective, but
that person was also probably like 14 when we were all 20 and 30. Yeah. I was maybe late 20s or 30s the last time we played this game.
Yeah, it was a while ago, right?
And that person was probably like 14.
Yeah, probably.
So that could have been an issue. You know what I'm saying? I'm just saying, like, they may have just,
right.
Folded in terms of all. I'm not saying that a 14-year-old can't beat a 30-year-old in a game. They absolutely can. But in this case, it might have just been.
We didn't do a lot of, like, specific attacking in this game. Like, taking the attack action.
Yeah.
Which, you know, I guess... that's always going to be, you know, from game to game, it's going to change what,
right,
you know,
yeah,
what
that's
people
true.
Are
those
focusing on.
Spaces could just be loaded up.
Right.
And it could be brought to bear. Which probably, if you had more pawns, there'd be more attacking. People are probably like, I need to dominate. I need to get this tile out of there. I need to do that. Oh, no attacking this round. But if you had four or five pawns, you'd be like, attacking.
Yeah. You definitely need to do more than you have access to.
Yeah.
So, or want to do more than you have access to.
Cool. Are we going through your games?
Sure. Right. So, hopping right from that, I went into a game of Expedition Northwest Passage, this is one that I've been eyeing for a while. I think it might be out of print at the moment, but it's an older-ish game. I guess that's all relative, isn't it? But it's basically... This race through the Northwest Passage. Like, you're trying to explore this whole empty space, you know, get from one side of the board to the other, and everyone's trying to do that at the same time. It's kind of a race to get there. The first person to actually, you know, successfully get from one side to the other gets more, like, a benefit. They get more points from doing that. But along the way, there are other opportunities. As you're going through, you're kind of laying down tiles to create this map. So you're figuring it out as it goes, and there are these passageways on these tiles, which are, you know, there's water and then there's ice on each one, and it kind of varies. You're going to have to draw some tiles from the bag over the course of the game, so it's like there is some variety with how the path gets made. So basically, as you're moving, you can place tiles down and create this path for either yourself to go through or others or both. You know, it's just one where you're going from one side to the other. But one of the most, like, the most unique aspects of the game, there's this, like, this round marker that goes around the outside of the board, and it's actually, like, a sun marker, so it's kind of telling you how much of the board is actually going to be made up of water and how much of the board is going to be frozen. Like, it's just ice, you know? So, like, starting off the game, it's kind of, I don't remember, it's, like, half and half or something, or, like, one-third of the board is ice and the rest is water. But as it's circling around, you have a few turns before it, like, gets all the way over. But once the sun tile, or the sun token, the round marker, goes to a certain point, it's going to basically say, like, sorry. So if it's going around, you know, maybe it's, like, the third or fourth turn, it'll be in the middle of the board on, like, the far end, right? And that's going to say, like, it's going to basically cut the board in half. Everything above that sun tile, or the brown marker, is going to be ice no matter what the tiles say. So yeah. They might have pathways of water or ice on them, but everything in there is ice. And you have to, like, if your ship is up there, you have to get out, unload, and put, like, a sled token out, and now you're going around the board on your sled.
Gotcha.
And you're going to have to wait for your boat to to get out of the ice. The ice needs to thaw, and then once that happens, then eventually you'll be able to move your ship again, but you can get trapped up in the ice and not be able to move your boat.
It's crazy.
But you still have ways to get there, because eventually, like, the, you know, the bulk of the board is going to be, ice. So you mm-hmm. can just move your sled over and kind of do that sort of stuff. So as everyone's going through, you're also trying to collect these different things that are spread out on the token or on the tiles. You know, if it's different types of resources, you're just trying to collect those, and they have some set collection as well as like majority bonuses for whoever's, you know, found the most of specific types of of goods. Obviously, like, there's a bit more to it than that, but it definitely has like this pretty cool mind game of trying to figure out how to actually do that with the round marker going around and changing up the dynamic partway through the game. Once someone finds like the passageway through, then like basically everyone has to get back to the beginning of the board and get off to, you know, to kind of get through and back, and you get bonuses for doing that. And there's some negatives for like abandoning stuff in the middle of the board. If you get trapped, you might have to, but at the very end of it, you're just trying to get there and back and collect stuff along the way. And I don't know, I really did enjoy it. It's, again, it's one of those ones where you think it's pretty simple, and then just, like, you know, it kind of creeps up on you that the board is just going to completely change for what you can,
right.
What you have access to.
And it's action selection, worker placement? I'm trying to remember,
yeah,
having
so,
learned it but never played it. Is it kind of both?
So everyone has a board, and they have some meeples and two different, like, kind of cabins. Like, they start off, like, all the meeples start off in your ship. So there's, like, a large space on your board that has, like, just room for all your meeples to go in, and they're all just your sailors that are mm-hmm. going to be used over the course of the game. The different actions that you can do, like, move or explore, draw a new tile, they're all on your board, and they tell you how many people you have to use, like, you know, how many people you have to spend that round to actually do that. So then you move them from, like, the one space, like, on the top of the boat down to, like, a used space underneath. And that one kind of just says, you know, hey, you've done this action, so now, like, these meeples are spent. And
so it's really action selection.
Yeah, like, but you can also, like, you can do a couple different actions. You just have to spend more.
Yeah.
So, like, on your turn, you can spend extras to do multiple in a row.
Gotcha.
But otherwise, it's going around till everyone's either out of meeples. At that point, they have to pass. Or you can pass a little faster to try to be first player for the next round. And, yeah, it definitely, like, I'm hoping, I don't know if it's, it is available at the moment, but it's one that's definitely got a unique dynamic to it, and I really enjoyed it. So, yeah, that's Expedition Northwest Passage.
Cool. Keep us going.
Because
then some point you started to have to do a lot of other stuff for the store, which we'll talk about in
which
the
is, like,
discussion.
Right then.
Right then and there.
Yeah, okay. So that was kind of the last one in the morning for me. I know I taught Mysterium, that was a little later, too. But, you know, like, that was kind of the bulk of the morning. After that, I'm trying to think where it ended up. I think, did you play something right after? You were playing some stuff throughout, right?
Yeah, I played Noia Hymet maybe after that.
Okay. So I want to say I was kind of getting stuff situated. Episode. Like, it felt like that was kind of when some of our other employees were trickling in for the new, you know, the new day. And I wanted to make sure everything was ready for, you know, we had an auction coming up, too, so I wanted to make sure everything was ready for that. I guess cleaning up again, you know, just making sure everything was good leading into the day and getting all, like, the promos and stuff ready. So, you know, I guess it was just a lot of prep at that point and making sure everyone was in decent shape for, like, you know, what they were doing. We also set up, there was, like, a large playmat, like a blank white playmat that we set up. Where we had people come in, sign it, do whatever they wanted to, just to kind of have a showcase of people that had come through, you know, and played some games, And, you know, it definitely got some activity. It wasn't like the... Right. It wasn't completely filled at the end of the day, but it was a neat thing to just have set up and have people come down and try out, or just sign and put stuff down there. I know there was, like, a pretty big battle over having, like, the largest yellow meeple on that, which, you know, I guess there are so many people fighting over yellow. I'm glad I never really had to get into that. So, I don't know.
Nice. Yeah, then the day kind of went there for you. I guess we'll alt here to some of the stuff, and then we'll come back around to some more plays. But, yeah, then the auction went well.
Yeah, right? So at that, I know we were starting to get a lot of people coming in, bringing games to sell for the auction, you know, just put up. We've run this a few times now, so it was kind of get it all in, and then we organized it all, got it ready to kind of get put out. But we had a good turnout. I should have counted the games beforehand, but
oh yeah,
there were quite a few games. I think there were over 20 people that came in and brought, like, you know, a good amount each, you know, mm-hmm. every now and then, like, some had just like a couple games, but for the most part they were coming in fully prepared. There was like a huge list that they'd all printed out with like their starting bids and everything, you know, all that sort of stuff. And we were really kind of jumping into it, getting stuff ready like beforehand and launching that at 1 o'clock. So I know kind of in conjunction with that, we had some people coming in, you know, some like personalities come down. I know, I was kind of locked into to the event. Like, the auction definitely takes a bit of time. I think did we go like 1 to 5 or something like that?
It was long.
It was a good amount of time.
Well, it's probably 5 by the time you were paying people out and all that kind of stuff.
So it felt like it was going through. We had, you know, quite a bit to do. And I know it's always like, we're thankful for everyone that did contribute to that brought stuff down. And thank you also for just understanding, like, the dynamics of it. You know, it takes a little while to kind of go from point A to point B, you know, getting the games in your hands and out the door. We're still trying to figure out the best way, like the logistics for that. But, you know, it went pretty well, like, especially with, like, with everyone kind of understanding, you know, hey, now we can take a step away, play some games while everything gets settled down, and then, you know, at the end of it, we'll come down, pick up our games, and pay for them. So, I don't know, I'm grateful that everyone was there helping out. I know John was, you know, a big part of why we started doing the auction,
right?
And he was running that, getting all, like, the, you know, everyone amped up, having fun with, like, you know, bidding and, right, and whatnot, buying the games.
He does a great job with that.
He gets people excited. And Gary and Harrison were there just kind of helping out too. They were huge, just kind of getting all the games organized and, you know, just everyone's
moved
games together.
Through, right. They were helping move them through.
So, yeah, no, it's definitely something that takes a lot of hands to kind of get stuff going smoothly. Obviously, like, too many would be frustrating, but, like, I think it felt like it was just the right amount to get it, like, you know, get it moving. So, I don't know. Did you hop in for that at all?
So, I feel like I was on the flip side. So, I, you know, sometimes when we've done these at other events, it's like everybody goes in that room and it clears out table space. You were in that room and there was no table space. So, you had 40, 50, 60 people in that room.
Right.
And there was still no table space. So I purposely detached myself from the auction to just be out, because there was one person running the register and I just kind of put on myself to kind of just be going around and, hey, you got that game or these bags, can we get them off the table? And just kind of, you know, luckily I'm around the store enough that even though I don't technically work there, people were pretty willing to, no problem, Brandon, gotcha, I'll help you out, you know? Because I just wanted to make sure it was a comfortable place for people walking in. Of course, Eric Summer came around that time, but the store was hopping. Nice. Like, it was super busy, and there was people asking for Magic cards and Warhammer models and buying food at the register and coming in, and I was welcoming them, and, you know, people trying to find space. It was crazy, and I knew you guys were just so busy with that, so I was kind of on that other end, and then, just kind of doing that. So we did that, but then when you finished that, I think that's when you kind of went over to the time machine, and we brought Eric and his boys over there.
Yeah.
As they were leaving.
Yeah, we gave them that tour that they had mentioned on the...
Which was my favorite part of the day.
Yeah, that was really cool.
It was cool because the store was technically closed, but we had invited Eric up, right?
It was like, yeah, we were heading over there like right at closing, so it was like...
Yeah.
Because I think they were getting ready to leave, right?
Right.
So it was kind of... They had played some games, they were getting ready to go, but they wanted to see the store before it was like, you know, completely closed down for the day. So we brought them over... Kept it open a little later just to kind of get them in there, see the whole thing. Because I know, like, that's, like, families are just why we're there.
Yeah. Right.
So it was awesome to kind of go through. And I know Eric had kind of walked through when we had the Dice Tower crew up. But I don't know if the kids had really been there.
Right.
Seeing, like, all the trains and the toys and everything that kind of that we have. So it was really fun just to kind of show them all this stuff. You know, we walked through the trains are definitely like a huge draw just to get people in, see the layouts that we've got up there. And, you know, it's nice. We've got a couple that are functional like throughout the course of the week. So we can kind of turn something on and you can see stuff going, see some activity with that.
Yeah. I was going to say that was key. Like you did an awesome job, like having them be hands on with stuff like, oh, you want to run these trains? Okay. Obviously not the club. In case anybody from the club listens, we did not run their trains. But we were able to bring them through and see that, right?
Yeah.
They were able to see that whole setup and display. And then when you got downstairs, you were showing them RC cars and showing them how they could run the things and just the science part and skip past the board game section. They could probably see that stuff, you know, lots of places.
Yeah, but then they did go back to, like, pick some stuff up from
there. Sure, yeah, yeah. But that was just cool to me. Like, they were looking through the models, and it was just cool. It's just fun to go through a toy store in the eyes of kids, right?
Yeah.
Like, it's just, like you said, that's what it's there for. And when you suddenly go back, and, like, obviously, it's a hobby shop, so it's also for adults or whatever, or for adults with their kids. But it's just cool to just see them, and they just kind of had the place to themselves. Like, oh, let's check this out. Let's check that out. That was really fun.
It's definitely, like... No, it is awesome just to kind of see that. I'm glad, like, I've got a different perspective now, too, you know, with a, you know, 3-year-old, just having that as a place to kind of hang out and just, you know, see what really draws him in, mm-hmm. too. It was funny, I know when Eric was sitting down with his kids, like, I went up and, you know, said hi to him, like, after the auction had finished up, because he'd been playing some stuff. I was like, you know, just offered them something to drink. And I realized, like, as I said, I was like, hey, do you guys want anything to drink? And I realized he's sitting there with his his kids, and it's like we've got soda and sugary drinks and all this sort of stuff. And I'm like, because we've got water if you guys would like that. And he's like, you know, he quickly was like, okay, yeah, that would be good. And it's like, you know, definitely a change in perspective from what it would have been like 5 years ago when it was like, oh, yeah, do you guys want something?
Yeah.
I'll go grab you this sugary sugar drink and give you this. But... You know, just something like having water accessible or whatever.
Yeah.
It's just, you know, that's great to just keep people there and, you know, hydrated, I guess.
Nice. Cool. Walk us through the rest of your evening then after that. Then you shut down Time Machine, came back over.
Yeah. So I know, I guess that's kind of when I was in there teaching some stuff. I, you know, another employee was, you know, there with some friends and I walked them through Mysterium. I didn't fully explain it. I know they kind of did some of the stuff wrong, but it's always the bidding tokens. No one really cares about those. I like them, but I mean, everyone else.
I love
them,
but you can live without them.
Yeah. I like even playing that wrong. Like as long as you get the basic gist of it, what the ghost does and everything, like that's the fun part of the game. So yeah, I taught that. I'm trying to think what after, you know, I had to grab something. I was kind of in that point where I needed to just eat something and sit down for a second. So I did do that real quick.
We're so proud of you.
Yeah.
You ate in 24 hours.
That's always the thing.
No, though. I don't mean not for sharing, but I just mean like, good. You need to
remember,
to
need to remember that. That's always like, you know, you get to a certain point and you're just, you know, you're tired, but it's like, you feel like you can just push through and keep doing stuff. And if there's always something to try to like grab you and take you in, I knew I just needed to like get out of there and, you know, just step back and recuperate.
Right. Yeah. Well, it's funny, even, you know, I brought all these snacks and had all these things and I did a good job and eventually I got to dinner and it was the same thing. It was like, Kathy had planned to come up and get food for me so I didn't have to leave. And it was like, just go to Chipotle and just get me, you know, whatever. Just get me just this food. You just need to eat something that's just substantial and, you know, so many cheese sticks and pretzels and crackers. You're like, okay, I just need to eat something substantial, you know.
But was that piece? Yeah, I know kind of in that, around that time too, was when, you know, a few other employees were leaving, so it was kind of winding down from that end. I wanted to make sure that everything was good, because we had Josh coming in. He was the like the last one that was going to be like manning the register for mm-hmm. the till the end of the day. So at that point, I was trying to get everything situated with him, make sure we had enough change in the drawer, you know, bags, all that sort of stuff too. So, you know, I know there were some people that were starting up Terraforming Mars around that time, and I was like, you know, hey, I'd love to play if I can, but start it up if you can, and just, you know, we'll see if it works out, it works out. If not, that's fine too. So I know, like, I made sure that everything was good, went back over, and I guess, like, in a good way, like, I guess there was someone new that they were teaching the game to, so I kind of hopped in, and I was able to just, you know, get in a game of Terraforming Mars, which we played drafting and the full, like, nice. You know, the full experience with it, which is great, just to kind of get that back, and, you know, like, that's definitely where the game shines. Mm-hmm. So, I guess it does make it a little tough when there's someone new, but I think at the same point, it definitely had the, like, the dynamics of a full, you know, the full experience with it. There were, and it, you know, like, it's not a problem at all to kind of go through and tell someone, you know, hey, this is kind of the basic gist of it, but it's always, like, kind of case by case for what's going to be good for your strategy. Like, whatever cards you have kind of dictate what you're doing, so trying to help someone out is kind of difficult in that game without saying, like, you know, hey, this could be good, but it's also dependent on getting these things over the course of the game. But it was fun. I had a great time with that. I think that was kind of the last one that I really... Yeah, that was the last one that I kind of concluded my gaming night with. You know, after that, it was kind of winding down. Everyone was trying to do those last few games. I know we had a lot of, like, promos and stuff like that. So I kind of grabbed everyone in, like, had people come down based on how long they had been at the shop, and they just picked up whatever promos they were looking to get. There weren't a ton that were coming in from Tabletop Day.
Right.
There were a couple, but I mean, we had stuff kicking around, so we just kind of threw it up on the table, had people, you know, pick up whatever they wanted, and it seemed like it went over pretty well.
Nice.
I know we've had stuff in the past where we're always trying to figure out what to do best. Yeah. So if we're open to suggestions, obviously, like, we'll kind of see it case by case, but it seemed like there was nothing that was, like, the thing to get.
Right.
Which would have been tough if there was, like, one card that everyone wanted from Tabletop. I know that happened a few years back where, like, Dead of Winter had come out, and there was, like, the Felicia Day card was, like, the thing to get. But this time it was kind of, you know, a few promos here and there, and we just wanted people to have fun and kind of get rewarded for being there for the whole time. We've run, like, a raffle over the course of the day, but that gets a little bit tough, and people aren't really staying the whole time. You know, and then it's just, like, everyone pause, we'll call out some numbers, and that seemed like it was tough to do again, especially with, like, you know, a lighter staff than we've had a few years, you know.
Yep.
But, I don't know, I think it worked well. We kind of did, like, the group picture at the very end of the day, so definitely take a look. Where, like, I'm guessing that's up on the meetup, like the Chits and Giggles meetup, so take a look, see, you know, there's a good amount of people that were there, you know, for the whole time. And even still, like, just the beginning and end, there's always a cool group that's just there to be there to have, you know, have fun with everyone that's still playing games.
Yeah. I was 12:20 to 11:50. So,
yeah.
I missed 30 minutes of the 24 hours, which is the most I've done. Because I've showed up at like 2 before.
Yeah.
This time I was there at 20 after 12 because I fell right asleep.
Nice.
You know, Friday my family left and I was like, well, I'm just going to go to bed at 5:30. Like, it didn't matter at that point, just go to bed, you know, and popped up. So literally when I got up, my wife, I think I said this at the start of the episode, because I recorded on the way up to the store, driving up through Glastonbury there. And I think literally as my wife was getting in bed, I was getting up like, okay, I'll see you.
Yeah, no, I was impressed. You got there really quickly.
Yeah.
You beat Gary there, right?
Yeah.
So that's there you go. That's the important thing.
No, yeah, it worked out well. Yeah, so then I kind of caught you at the end of the night, and it was like, haven't done a clip. Yeah, we're going to do another episode with you, Brian, because by the time all that happens, it's like, we'll figure that out. So, cool. Nice. I'm going to go over one more game that I played recently, but I'm going to save the other two, because this episode's plenty long and all that recap and whatnot.
Yeah.
and whatnot. So I played Twa. Again, having not played it, and I guess I can't recall who I played it with and what and how many times years ago. I thought that Kathy had played it before, but she says she hadn't. But I remember loving this game, and
yeah,
I'm pretty sure I played it with you and Rachel.
I definitely played it with
played it with B. I don't remember who else, but anyway, I thought I'd played two-player with Kathy. And Twa's just great, and it's your copy, and you had the Lady of Twa expansion in there, which is awesome. It's like modules, and it's so simple. And it really only adds one rule. And so what's neat about Twa is it's a dice placement? Dice allocation. So you roll your set of dice, and then you can use your dice to do various actions. But you can also buy other people's dice from them. So you can give people money to use their dice, which becomes an interesting element because you're like, oh, I want to do this, but I'm going to buy your die from you to deny you that die, and then you'll have to buy one back for me. So there starts to be a zero sum of, like, if I buy one from you and you buy one from me, you know, it works out a little different. But it's got hidden endgame scoring, so if Brian and I both have endgame scoring cards, we're both going to score them, but I know what the endgame is. So I played a lot where I get endgame score. Did you complete this threshold? Yes. Or were you first in this category? No, you don't get the points, but this is everybody scores. So it was interesting trying to figure that out. Although with the Lady of Twa, there's like 9, mm-hmm. so trying to figure them all out as opposed to when there was 6, and you're like, oh, I know, basically,
yeah.
A lot of these are in play. At 9, it's like, I don't know which ones are in play. Kathy found it a little difficult to work through, like, there aren't victory points in the beginning rounds, and we only play 4 rounds in 2-player. So in 4-player, you play 6 rounds, and everything's on the table by round 3. But in 4 rounds, it's like, oh, now rounds 3 and 4. Of course, you can do a lot more. So I know that part was a little frustrating for her. Like, I see that I can do this, but I don't know if that's a benefit, and... you put more workers out to get more dice and to get on these cards, but there's just a lot here. It was still as heavy as I remember the game being. I mean, I think this is heavy. I wouldn't put it towards, like, Terra Mystica. That feels heavier to me. But it's definitely that same idea of all these actions I can do and how am I intertwining and how am I building my engine, you know, that idea.
Yeah.
But I really enjoyed it, and I loved that expansion where it's like, just shuffle cards in.
Yeah.
And then it just had one thing. It was really cool. It adds these boards on the side that go flow right in with the art. So they made the art just, which is just a cool touch.
Yeah.
And then the whole thing is the city of Twa, almost like the castle, and you can move across the parapets. And when you get to the various cards, you can put cubes to get bonus abilities. It's all about getting these bonus abilities and fighting off these invaders that are attacking, kind of like you were talking in Merlin back there. And, it was just a delicious Euro fest, and I can't wait to play it. I think it'd be exciting to play with 3 and 4. So, that's yeah. Twa. I don't know if I'm pronouncing Javier Georges.
Yeah.
Xavier Georges, if we're going to Americanize it. And 2 other people worked on the game, but of course he's famous for Carson City, as well as others, but that was the designer. It was Z-Man was the publisher, which I think that just came back out. This is one of those famous, like, Z-Man published it, and people loved it, and they never printed it again, and I guess they just reprinted it recently, so.
Well, they reprinted it sometime last year or the year before,
and
then it went immediately out of print again.
Again, gotcha.
So it was not
so you're
really
out of luck
helpful.
Again. But, it was really fun, so.
Sorry, you're still going on Twa?
No, I'm good.
Oh, no, I forgot. It's amazing. I'm going through and trying to recount the day based on the board game at, you know, BG stats.
Yeah.
And I completely, like, it slipped my mind. I played, you know, some filler stuff in the middle of the day, too. Machik, who does a lot of stuff CONCON and FallCon, like that sort of stuff. Yeah, he stopped by. I remember, like, you know, going back to the first time I went to one of those. He taught La Granja before it was out in the U.S. So it's like I always connect him with, like, these great, like, hard-to-find Euros and stuff like that. But he had come down. He brought in, like, some smaller, like, Amigo games, which, you know, I even kind of mentioned to him, like, all this stuff is going to... Like, there's a push from Amigo coming into the U.S. this year, too, which was neat to kind of give him some of that information, just let him know, like, hey, this is... you know, I don't know if the games that we played are coming in, but, you know, it was cool just to kind of meet him, talk to him a little bit, and play some of those games that he can kind of have as a go-to just to kind of get to the table really quickly. So that was just one of those things that kind of filled in one of the gaps. I think it was between Expedition Northwest Passage and the auction.
Which really would have been the morning.
Right.
It feels like the middle of the day to us, right?
Yeah.
I guess it kind
at
of
that
is.
Point,
yeah.
It's the middle of the 24 hours, right?
Nice. Yeah, so. I know. I did a segment, and I was outside, and it was sunny, and I was like, oh, it's midday, but it was like 7:15
right.
in the morning. But it felt like the sun had come up, and we had played all these games, and it felt, you know.
It's such a different dynamic. I guess it's like, it's just funny. Cool to see that, like, a couple times a year of, like, that dark to light to dark.
Yeah. Right. Well, I always think we need, like, some year we need to just set up a camera just to have, like, the 24 hours, like...
Oh, just do the full...
Just to see the store, like, fill up, and go, you know, and all the different things.
A time-lapse sort of thing?
Yeah, time-lapse, you know, do all that in 2 minutes or something would be really neat, so...
Yeah.
How was that? Cool. Well, the other two games that we need to talk about are Grim Forest and Altiplano.
Okay.
So those will have to be on some future episodes.
Had you talked about them yet?
No.
Okay, so we'll
yeah, we won't say
over.
Anything, but those are two pretty popular big games. So
though I haven't played the Grim Forest. I just taught it. I played part of it, so that doesn't really help. I'll have to play it before we do.
You taught, like, at the library event?
The kids, the after-school board game
club. So you just
club.
Taught it once?
Yeah.
Okay, that's a little different. I was going to say it was a library thing, and you taught it, like, three or
no,
four
no,
times.
No.
A little different. Huh? Well.
So I need to play it, then we'll talk about it.
We'll have to see what we have to say about those two games. Do we hate them both? Do we love them both? Are they middling? We will find out. This and more. Awesome. Well, thanks for recapping Tabletop Day. Thanks for listening, everybody, because that's kind of two Tabletop Day recaps. But I think Brian's is a really good perspective. To get on that with
not
with
great, just really good
gaming,
solid
with gaming. And hey, I forgot I did a comedy show.
Yeah,
you were saying what's going on right at the start of the. Let's go back and do the start of the episode. Welcome, one. Well, no, I was just kidding. Yeah, we did a huge comedy show. It was like 2 hours and 15 minutes long. It was intense down at the theater that I work at. And, yeah, they were like, yeah, you guys should do a comedy show. And so I put all this, and then we finished, and they're like, we should do this, like, twice a year. Why are we not? I'm like, well, because look who's producing all of it. So, but it was really fun. You were there in attendance.
Yeah, I was.
Was it funny?
Yeah. Okay. No, it was good. It was really cool to see. It's always fun to see, like, the progression, because there's a lot of improv. And just, like, seeing people that have kind of gone through... And, like, you teach a lot of them, like, and it's just, you know, they're different stages of how much they've done, you know, just from that experience. Like, you can see this whole progression of, like, these are the students that are probably, like, more current, like, they're students right now, and these are the people that had been students, and these are the adults that had been, you know, students way back when.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's just cool to see that whole, like, you know, just the variety there, and... Even just watching, like, from year to year, seeing people kind of just get more confident and comfortable doing that. Like, it's awesome to see that. And I'm sure it must be really rewarding for you.
Oh, my gosh, yeah. it's amazing, especially this group that graduated this last year, like, just all the way up and through, you know?
And it's that's forever, such, like, so. That's a hard thing to, like, that's a hard thing to do, improv. I mean, like you definitely have to be... in that mindset of just, like, you know, going and kind of, you know, like, trying stuff out. It feels like even with the people that have been doing it a while, like, it's like there needs to be someone there kind of being on the ball too about, like, okay, you know, hey, let's, you know, switch gears, like, throw a wrench in it and see what happens from that.
Well, I will throw out a thank you here to fellow Dice Tower Dan Hughes, because I reached out to him with This Game Is Broken podcast. And he does, you know, a lot of this comedic and improv in the board game realm. And I said, hey, love some of your ideas. You know, are you willing to share some of those with me or some ideas of what I could do for a show where everybody's coming and they're not, I can't do board game centric games. So he definitely helped me out there and followed up to see how the show had gone and everything. So that was cool. And it was neat going that dynamic from, like, podcast to, like, live, right, in a theater. It's just exciting there. So
nice.
That's it. I think that's all.
Yeah.
That is episode 87, our most desperate hour. Thank you, everyone, for listening. And until next time, I am your host, The Brant.
And I am your co-host, Brian.
And we hope you step into the portal. Portal Gaming Podcast is a product of Time Machine Toy and Hobby Store / The Portal, which is located at 71 and 60 Hilliard Street in Manchester, Connecticut. This episode was recorded on May 10th, 2018. Please send any questions to us at portalgamingpodcast@gmail.com. Portal Gaming Podcast, a proud member of the Dice Tower Network. For more awesome podcasts, visit www.dicetowernetwork.com. Thanks for listening.